Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
We're in part three of a four-part series this morning entitled Small Things, Big Difference. And I'm so glad you joined us this morning as we celebrate the goodness of our God. Don't you just resonate with the words of that last song that we sang? Our God is stronger. He breaks the chains. We're rooted and grounded in the truth of who He is. And apart from that, it's just all a waste of time. Apart from that, we don't have any power. But we keep coming back to those essential truths. And so we gather to worship together. This morning we gather to welcome Brent and Angela. We're so glad that you guys and your family is here. And we're looking forward to the opportunities for ministry and expansion of ministry, not only among us, among our OCC kids and OCC youth, but see that expand into our community, into our neighborhood, into our city. This morning, as we start to unpack another aspect of small things, big difference, I really believe as we look at this as basic principle, some of you are going to look back at your life years from now, and you're going to come back to this day in terms of some things that God can do and what God has done. See, there's an absolutely crucial principle here, and it's been the key thought throughout this entire message. You know, sometimes we look at people who've got their lives together, who've accomplished great things, and we think, there's no way I could be that. I don't even know what I need to change in order to start to move in that direction. But you see, it's not always the big things. It's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. And that's such a vital principle, and we've been unpacking that throughout this entire series. It's so important to understand. It's the small things that goes on in our lives that makes the big difference. It's those small things that change us that make those big differences that other people want. In fact, first week we started to unpack this well-known quote that talks about why our beliefs and our thoughts are so important, because our beliefs shape our thoughts, and our thoughts influence our words, and our words shape our actions. And our actions become our habits, and our habits develop value and character, and that creates a direction for our life. And it's the small things that impact our life in such a huge, huge way. And so last Sunday, we were talking about our thoughts and how they shape us and move us forward. And today we want to talk about the power of our words. And the next Sunday, as we wrap it up, we're going to look at our actions and look at our habits. And so let's begin at the beginning. Genesis 1:1. That's the beginning, isn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless. It was empty. Darkness covered the deep waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And what's it say? Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God created the world, created the universe, created everything there is. And He did it by speaking it into existence. He spoke the word. John puts it this way in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Message, a little bit later in that translation down around verse 12, says the Word moved into the neighborhood, pitched His tent, moved into the places where we are. Our words are incredibly powerful. Solomon said this about our words in Proverbs 18. He said, the tongue has massive power. The tongue has the power of life and death. Can you say that with me? The tongue has the power of life and death. That's such an important truth. Important reality to grasp. The words that we speak, the words that you and I speak, can either be life-giving words or they can be life-taking words. They can suck the life right out of others. To read the rest of the verse, it says, those who love to talk will reap the consequences. There's consequences to the words that we say. And those consequences extend not just to the other person, but they extend to us. The Message puts it this way. Words kill, words give life. They're even poison or fruit. You choose. The type of language we use, the way that we speak, has amazing and powerful impact. In fact, if you want to jot down a couple of thoughts, this is important. If you want to change the life you have, you need to change the words you speak. If you want to change the life you have, you need to change the words you speak. I'm going to say that yet again, because this is a really good point to say amen. And I know some of you aren't really into responding that way, but this is a good place, a good time to do that. If you want to change the life you have, you need to change the words you speak. And everyone said amen. Because small things, they may seem small, just the words that we speak can make a huge difference in the life that we live. In fact, James said this a long time ago. If you didn't grow up going to church or you haven't read a lot of Bible stories, you may not know who James is. James is the brother of Jesus. And a lot of scholars believe that James is probably the best evidence we have of the divinity of Jesus. Why are you saying that, Mike? Well, think about this for a minute. What would your brother have to do to convince you he was the Son of God? think about that. And if James thought that Jesus was the Son of God, that's pretty good evidence if you ask me. Anyway, here's what James, the brother of Jesus, said in James 3. This is verses 3 to 5. He talked about how small things can make a big difference. He said, first of all, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. Huge horse, but small bit. You can make the horse go where you want it. Small things make a big difference. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Size of the rudder in comparison to the size of the ship. There is no comparison. And yet you can direct the ship. Small things make a big difference. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. He talks about the power of our words, the power of our tongue, the way it can direct and shape and move a crowd to do massively good things. But the flip side, James says, is true as well. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. There's power in our words. You can speak life-giving words, or you can speak life-taking words. You know, show me a marriage struggling, and I can guarantee you there's a lot of life-taking words being spoken. But you see a marriage that's going well, I can pretty well guarantee there's a lot of life-giving words that are being spoken. You see somebody you struggle to be around. They make you feel small and unimportant. You've got somebody in your life that just drives you crazy. You'll find that there's a lot of life-taking words there. Maybe there's somebody you love to be around and they build you up, and you're going to see that there's lots of life-giving words there. In fact, Solomon, who wrote much of the book of Proverbs, contrasted many times the difference between life-giving and life-taking. Proverbs 12, verse 18, he says, "The words of the reckless," the words of people who don't think about really what they're saying, what do they do? Those words pierce like swords. If I was a betting man, I would bet that pretty well everyone here has been pierced by some life-taking words. New Living Translation puts it this way, some people make cutting remarks. The Message puts it this way, rash language, cuts and maims. But then Solomon goes on, he says, the tongue of the wise does what? The tongue of the wise brings healing. It's life-giving. If someone speaks the right word at the right time, and you're like, that's what I need to go on. It's life-giving. And Proverbs 15, verse 4, Solomon says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life. NLT says gentle words or kind words in the Message. Words that bring healing, that give life. But on the other hand, a perverse tongue, a deceitful tongue, crushes the spirit, speaks cutting words that wound and maim. And I know some of you here have had your spirit crushed by life-taking words. I can guarantee almost everybody here that's happened to them. And sometimes it's innocuous type things. You know, so someone comes to you and says, "Did you mean to do that to your hair?" And you're going, what do you mean? I just had it done. It cost me a ton of money to get it looking this way. Or why aren't you married at this stage in your life? Or why don't you have kids? And you're like, you want to shut up and get on my face right now. It just irritates you. And you're so hurt. You're so manned by that. Others of you have heard extremely intentionally hurt words. "I can't stand you. I never loved you anyways. You're pathetic. I found someone else." Life-taking words. Words that pierce like a sword to the very core of our being. Words that crush the spirit. That's even more common in our age than in any other age, because people post that sort of garbage on Facebook all the time. Others of you have been blessed by life-giving words, haven't you? People have spoken into your life. "Man, I'm so proud of you. You're the best of the best. You're my dream come true. I'm so thankful God put you in my life." And I just build you up. There's something about life-giving words that's healing to the soul. Last week, we did a bit of a thought audit. We looked at our thoughts and evaluated that in a number of different areas. This morning, we're going to do a word audit. We're going to ask ourselves a question. Are we speaking more life-giving words or life-taking words to others? To ourselves. And so let's bring up the chart for the word audit. And we're going to start with other people. And so there's a scale there of 1 to 10. So do you speak more life-taking words? You know, "You didn't do a very good job. Why is your room such a mess? I can't stand that. Why do you always leave the toilet seat up? You're pathetic. You drive me crazy. You drive me nuts. I wish I'd never..." You know the language. You know the things that get shared. Or maybe you speak more life-giving words to others. I'm so proud of you. You're the best. That was an incredible meal. You're doing a great job. I'm so glad I hired you. I want you to take a moment. Be really honest. And circle where you are on that scale in terms of your relationship with others, in terms of whether you're speaking life-giving or life-taking words. That's so important that we evaluate ourselves. Now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about our words to ourselves. The words that we speak to ourselves, often not out loud, but more in the quietness, are the words we speak to ourselves, are they more life-giving or life-taking? The life-taking words, "You're going to blow this. There's no way you can do that. Your life is always going to be bad. This is going to be a tough day. I'm just so exhausted. Things never work out for me. I never get any breaks." That's you, put a lower number. On the other hand, your self-talk is more, "God's with me. I can handle this. God's going to bless me. I'm so thankful for this new day. This is going to be good. With Christ, I can do all things." And you put a higher number. Let me ask a question. How many of you speak more life-giving words to others than you do to yourself? That's what I thought. A lot of us speak more life-giving words to others than to ourselves. But if you didn't circle a 10 on both of those scales, guess what? This message is for you. Because there's always room for improvement. Why? Because there's power in our words. If you want to change the life you have, you change the words you speak. We make some small changes in the language and the words we speak, and it makes a big difference in the life we have. Our words have the power of life. Our words have the power of death. Our words can bring joy and blessing to somebody, or they can tear them down. I want to give you two very powerful rules about life-giving words. The first one, if you're taking notes, is going to make me sound like your mother or your grandmother. With no apologies at all to your mother or grandmother, because they were right when they said it. If you can't say anything helpful, skip it. don't say anything at all. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. You know, that's really good advice. In fact, Paul said something very similar in Ephesians 4. He said, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And if that doesn't convict some of you, you're not listening. Don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. The New Living Translation puts the last part of the verse this way. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And for some of you, if you took that one verse and you applied it to your life, to your marriage, to your parenting, to your work relationships, to your friendships, then your whole time at OCC this morning was incredibly worthwhile. The King James takes that part of that verse and says, if you can't say something helpful, shut up thy trap. Well, it's not quite the way the King James puts it, but it really, really should. You know, shut your mouth rather than say that stuff. And don't elbow your spouse or your friend at this point. Don't poke them, because you should be elbowing yourself. Be talking to yourself. If you can't say something helpful, nice, then skip it, close it, bite it, zip it, don't say anything at all. Simple. Second principle, I don't want to spend more time on this because it's vital. Number one, if you can't say something helpful, skip it. Number two, if you think something good, say it. If you think something good, say it. Whether it's something good about somebody else, about God, about yourself, about your circumstances, give it life by saying it. In fact, Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul and bring healing to the bones." Notice Solomon didn't say gracious thoughts are like honeycomb. He said the gracious words, the words that we speak. Let me tell you a story. A few years ago, I was working with a counselor. And then I was, after we developed some things, I was invited to participate in some sessions. And initially as an observer, and then after a number of sessions, to provide some input as I felt led. In this one session, we're meeting with this man who I'd known outside of the counseling context, and he'd come in for a number of sessions. And this one session, I really felt prompted to encourage him. I felt like I was supposed to do it. And so I made a positive comment about something I had observed. And he stopped. And his eyes went down. And he wouldn't even look me in the eye. And then he said, "No, I'm pathetic." And he began to express all kinds of hurt and pain. And within a very few minutes, he told the counselor and myself that he was thinking about taking his life. And so we began to probe and ask some more questions. And it became obvious that he was serious. And I'm letting the counselor take the lead. And while he's taking the lead, I'm praying like crazy. "Lord, show us the words to say. Show us what you want to do and how you want to speak into this man's life." And God put something on my heart. And I took the pad of paper I had, and I started writing down the numbers, 1, 2, 3, and I got all the way to 50. And then I said, "Let's call him Scott, that's not his real name. Scott, I want you to tell me 50 reasons why God has gifted you, and you're supposed to live." And his eyes dropped, and he said, "I don't have any." I said, "No, give me some reasons. Tell me something good about yourself." There was some silence. I said, "There's nothing." I said again, "Tell me something good about yourself." Then he said, "I'm a good writer." I said, "There you go." And I wrote that down, because he was a good writer. I'd read some of the things that he had written from a previous session. I said, "Tell me something else." He said, "There's nothing." "Come on, there's more there. I know there is. Tell me something." And he said, "I'm funny." So I wrote that down. "Yeah, you're funny in a witty sort of way. Give me another one." He said, "I look like Robert Redford." I said, "Okay, you're funny, but I'm not writing that down. Give me something else." And he wouldn't do it. And we kept pushing him, allowed some silence to be there. And finally he said, I pray a lot for other people. So that's good. And I wrote that down. Very slowly was another thing and another thing. Finally, we got about 12 or 13 items on the list. I don't know exactly where it was, but it was like this. There was this breakthrough. And the dam broke, and there was these tears, and he just couldn't stop. I write thank you notes for everything. I helped somebody change a tire last week. I led somebody to Christ recently. I had top marks in a couple of university courses. People say I'm a good lister. People tell me their problems. And so I kept writing down these things that he gave me. And within a short period of time after that, we had 50 items on that sheet of paper. And I took that paper, and I folded it up. I said, I want you to take this, because on this piece of paper are written words of life. Why God has gifted you, and why you have a lot to offer this world. And we prayed together, and it was an emotional moment. And you could tell there was a breakthrough that was happening. I didn't see him for 2 or 3 years. Finally, we reconnected in a totally different setting. And after a bit, as we started to get connected, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out his wallet. And he opened his wallet and he pulled out this wadded up piece of paper. And he handed it to me. He says, I don't need this anymore. Because I don't have the words on a piece of paper. Those words are now written on my heart. You know, I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't pushed them that morning to see those words of life. Words are so powerful. Words are so powerful. When you think something good, text somebody, post a comment, send them a letter, pick up the phone and call them, write the note, tell them. Now sometimes, this is important. Sometimes people won't hear those life-giving words because you've spoken so many life-taking words over the years. And at that point, the most life-giving words you can speak is saying, I'm sorry for the way I've spoken in the past. Will you forgive me? And that's powerful life-giving words. If you want to change your relationships, every time you think something good about it, say it. You know, make it almost a rule. Don't hold a blessing back. Why would you hold a blessing back from somebody else? Not just to other people, but say that to yourself. Because you look at your word audit, many of you are saying, I say more negative things to myself than I say to others. Why would you ever be so stupid? And I know that's a really strong life-taking word, isn't it? But that's exactly what we're doing when we speak those negative things to ourselves. We're being stupid because we're speaking lies. We're speaking those negative things to ourselves. David in the Old Testament. I love looking at his story. One time, David was so concerned and he was so wrapped up in the reality that he was going to be attacked. People were going to throw stones at him. And it says he spoke life-giving words to himself. 1 Samuel 30, David found strength in the Lord. And literally, the Hebrew there says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He was speaking life-giving words to himself. I love that. He encouraged himself. You know, probably at least half the sermons I preach are being spoken to me. You guys have just got to listen in. But they're words to me. And we need to encourage ourselves. God, give me faith for this. I believe your hands upon me. God, you're working in all things to bring about the good because I love you. I'm called according to your purposes. And we have to speak to ourselves. We have to encourage ourselves with words of life and affirmation. Encouraging yourself, not that you can do it all by yourself, but that God can do it in you and through you. You encourage yourself in the things of the Lord. And I'm not talking about what prosperity preachers, that teaching that if you want to see it, say it. If you say it, then you'll see it. We knew somebody years ago who worked with Janice and kept telling her she had a swimming pool in her backyard. She didn't have a swimming pool in her backyard, but she would have been caught up in some of those things. It's not saying, Lord, I want to see a Mercedes in my garage in Jesus' name. And I'm not sure why prosperity teachers, they always extend that name Jesus when they're speaking like that. It doesn't make any sense at all. I'm talking about speaking truth that's consistent with God's truth. God, I believe you want to bless my marriage. You speak that truth because that's God's heart. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain, he didn't say if you talk about the mountain. He says, if you speak to the mountain and have faith to see it removed, it will be removed. In Ezekiel, God said, prophesy to these dead bones. Speak to the dry bones. He didn't say talk about them. He said, speak to them. There's a sense in which we need to speak out the truth of God. God, I believe you're going to work in my life. God, by faith, you're going to heal this person that we've been praying for. God, by faith, I believe you're going to help me get out of debt. And I want to give you one small life-changing phrase that if you apply this, you're going to see a big difference in your life because it changes our words. Because if you want to change your life, you need to change your words. You want to see make a big difference in the way you live, make a small change in the words that you speak, because there's power in our words. And every time you speak, and you don't need to literally add this phrase on the end, but think and speak it to yourself. Every time you speak, be sure, immediately following whatever you say, you add the words, and that's the way I want it. Let me give you an example. You make sure you speak with integrity. For example, you're talking about your marriage. You know, I'm sick and tired of my marriage, and it's probably going to end in divorce, and that's the way I want it. You know, that's not, doesn't build up at all. You know, you get on my nerves so much. And that's the way I want it. It doesn't work. I'm pathetic. I never make a difference. I never get the breaks. My life is always going to suck, and that's the way I want it. You see, our words are extremely powerful. Instead, you have to speak with integrity and say, my marriage isn't going really well right now, but I'm going to surrender my heart to the Lord. And I'm going to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And I believe God's going to bring healing to our marriage because that's the way I want it. I know we're in debt right now, but we're going to learn to live beneath our means. And with God's help, we're going to get out of debt. And we're going to learn not just to give a little bit, but we're going to become massively generous. Because that's the way I want it. And if you can add that phrase to anything you say, watch as it changes your words. Watch as it changes your words. See, the way that we think matters. Because our thoughts become our words. And our words matter because they become our actions. And our actions matter because they become our habits. And our habits matter because what you do repeatedly becomes who you are. And so you can begin to make some small changes in the words that you speak. It makes a big difference in the life you live. So, back in week one, we talked about picking a selecting one word that would drive and direct you this fall. And then last Sunday we talked about a thought that's rooted in around that. And this week I want you to think about having one statement. And that one statement for you may be simply, and that's the way I want it. One statement that drives your words. Make a big difference in the words that you speak and therefore in the life that you live. See, not only do we, as we talked about last Sunday, think about the things that are lovely and pure and admirable and excellent, but we give life to it by taking our life-giving thoughts and making them our life-giving words. It's in those small things that no one sees. It makes such a huge difference. If you want to change the life you have, begin by changing the words you speak, because words are so powerful. They have the power of life and death. We don't speak. We're called not to be speaking life-taking words to others. We speak life-giving words to others. Looking to see what God is doing in people's lives. Seeing the heart of God at work in others. We don't speak life-taking words to ourselves. We encourage ourselves in the Lord. And if we think something that's not good, We skip it. We're going to bite it. We don't have to say that stuff. But when we think stuff good, when we see something that God's at work in a person's life, we give life to it. We bless them by saying it. We're not going to let any unwholesome talk, and that covers a whole lack of stuff, doesn't it? We don't let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Why? Because our words matter. So we make small changes in the words we speak. It makes a huge difference in the life we live. With our words, we glorify God. With our words, we transform and improve our relationships. With our words, we reflect more and more the life of Jesus, because that's the way we want it. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that this one small truth would have an impact on marriages and relationships and friendships, that you would help move our life forward to become all that you want us to be. And so as we pray today, pray, Lord, I pray that you'd be speaking to each one here, resonating in the core of their being, those words and those way you want us to speak words, that you will direct us and guide us so that we speak your truth and we live out your truth. Lord, I pray this won't be just an exercise that comes and goes, but something that's born out of your heart, planted in our hearts, that you would direct and empower us, that you would change our words, that every time we speak, whether it's to others or to ourselves, we realize that it's not helpful, we don't say it. But if it gives life, we'll say it and set it free. Father, I pray that every time we say something that's not pleasing to you or helpful to others, that we remember that that's not the way we want it. That we would allow your words, the words that we speak, would line up with your truth, because that's the way you want it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.